It's always good to pray for the message. Lord, we come to you today. We thank you for DVRs and the ability to record things like the Bears and the Packers. And we know that they're important in our lives, but they are not eternally significant. We pray for this message that there be something in it for each of us, and maybe for one in particular, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this we're kind of looking at kings and things that have happened in the lives of kings, but this particular message today, I don't know who it's for, but it's for somebody. And I just know that. I can't prove it. But today I want to look at Hezekiah, who was king in Judah. And he had a time when desperate things happened to him, and he had to deal with it. And how he dealt with it is important. We're going to look at what happened to him when he was told that he was dying and he was in a desperate situation. Maybe some of us, if we're not now, maybe later. Or you may have had a time in your life, a desperate time. I know I take tours in people's lives, and over the years I've met some people and gone through experiences with them, and they would be classified as very desperate. But before I look at this story of this king and the prayer that came out of here, I want to play a little game with you. It's a game called What If? It was a great game. We did it when the kids were little. We would do it at the kitchen table at times, and one of the things that came up is, what if your nose was upside down? Wouldn't that be horrible? I mean, think about it. If it rained, your nose would fill up. And if you sneezed, you'd blow it up all over your hair. Not only that, your snot couldn't run out. And it's not the tears anyway. It's always the snot, right? And boy, would it be tough to blow your nose. What if? What if you saw a burning bush like Moses and you brought it home to heat your house? Would we call it a Bunsen burning bush? Not only that, but it would probably talk to you and nag you all the time. You set it in your house, kind of like a Christmas tree, and say, hey, did you wipe your feet before you came in? Hey, did you water me today? Every time you went to the refrigerator to get a Bud Light out of the refrigerator, it would come, hey, how come you don't drink Busch Light? That'd make a great commercial, wouldn't it? Not only that, would it burn your house down, or would it heat it? How many BTUs does the burning bush put out? What if Steve Smith and I were made of Play-Doh, and we got into a fight? When we hit each other, we would get stuck together and get all mixed up. What if? What if? What if on the way home from church you saw an accident and it was up to you and only you to help the people involved in the accident? What if your best friend called you up after church and told you he was thinking about committing suicide? What if you got a call from your mother that your father had just had a serious heart attack and was not expected to live? What if you went to work and when you got there you were told that you no longer had a job? What if? What if your son got sick and you took him to the doctor and he was diagnosed with cancer? What if your business went sour and you lost it all and had to declare bankruptcy? What if you were on vacation, you got a call one night, you were told that your son had been killed in an accident? What if the stock market fell 1,000 points in one day and wiped you out? What if your spouse walked in one night and said, I want a divorce. I'm through with this relationship. What if? What if you fell sick and you went to the doctor for a checkup, you found out that you had cancer and it looked terminal, and your minister came to see you and he told you that it looked like you were dying, you better get your house in order? What if? Desperate situation. What if a desperate situation was jumped upon you today as you and I worship together in our illusion of safety and security? You know, everything that I just said there, actually I've been part of somebody's life. In our lives, there are times of distress, discouragement, darkness, and danger, and there are those times of desperation in our lives, times that are terribly intense, excruciatingly moments when life and death are hung in the balance. We have no strength, we have no wisdom to tip the balance in our favor one way or the other. Desperate times. We cannot strive or struggle, we cannot fight or flee or even faint. Desperate times. When we can only cry unto God. And if He doesn't hear us and help us, we're lost. For the follower of Jesus, at least we have a foundational faith that knows the one whose ear can hear us and who can save us. For the person who does not know Jesus, they are without even the knowledge of who to go to in prayer. We're looking at kings, but we're all kings and queens. We all have our own kingdoms, and we're looking at kings, and with desperate times come upon people. Desperate times require desperate prayers. And the scriptures reveal that some of our shortest prayers are the most powerful prayers. I have the prayer of Hezekiah printed up here above the message title. I'd like for us to read it together. And if you need to say it for real, do so. Remember now, O Lord, I ask you, how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a full heart, and have done what is good in your sight. Lord, save me. Restore me in this time and make me live. This is a desperate prayer that was said in a desperate situation. And I would like for us to read, I got a bunch of scriptures here, and I would like for us to read 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, which is the reason why there's a prayer being said. Here we go. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order. For you shall die, you shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. This is a true story, by the way, but it could also be one of those what if that I was talking about earlier. There once lived a king who was a man of God. He really was. His name was Hezekiah. He became sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet came to see him and told him, he says, "Hezekiah, you're going to die. The Lord has shown me this. You need to get your house in order because you will not recover from this sickness." A desperate time for Hezekiah when somebody tells you you're dying. It was a time when life and death hung in the balance, a hopeless situation. The sickness that Hezekiah was suffering from was a boil, probably a staph infection, which is bad in these days, but it also was worse then, because in that day and age, people didn't recover from that kind of sickness. They didn't have antibiotics. He was going to be a dead man in a short time, and he knew it. There's a message for all of us in the story when it comes to desperate times and how we handle those times. Hezekiah knew he was in trouble, and he sure didn't need Isaiah the prophet to tell him that he was in trouble. But Isaiah, the preacher, shows up and tells him, you better get your house in order, because the Lord has shown me that you're going to die. True story. When I was down in Madisonville, Kentucky, there was a man in that congregation, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and they did an operation, and they treated him with chemotherapy, but it was really basically all to no avail. And over a period of time, he was losing his life, in a sense. One day I went to go visit Dick, and I knocked on the door, and his wife answered it, and she took me in to see him, and he was sitting in his Lazy Boy, and the first thing he said, I must be in trouble. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, today, this morning, my lawyer came to see me, and around noon, my doctor made a personal call, a home visit, and came to see me, and now my preacher showed up. I must be in trouble. Truth is, he was in trouble. Within a month, he died. I want you to think about Hezekiah, you know, or yourself. What if I were to show up on your, what if? I were to show up on your doorstep, or a doctor tells you the game's over, you're checking out of here. Hezekiah was probably expecting a healing service or a prayer from Isaiah, but not this time. Isaiah walks in and he says, you're a dead man, Hezekiah. Gee, thanks, preacher. Just what I needed with friends like you. Who needs enemies? He's lying on a bed. Can you see him? I try to imagine what goes through people's, when you read the scripture, you get it out of the dust or the sawdust, and out of stained glass. I thought about it. This is the way I see it. He kind of draws up into a fetal position, and he rolls over and turns his back on the prophet. A numb blackness comes over him as he turns towards the wall in a fetal position and begins to unload the agony of his condition, desperate time. Read with me Isaiah 38, 9 to 16. This is what he was thinking and feeling while he was sick. Now, this was recorded after he gets well. So this is where he was. So let's read it together. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the noontide of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look upon man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, thou dost bring me to an end. I cry for help until morning. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. From day to night, thou dost bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane, I clamor. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be thou my security. But what can I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. All my sleep has fled because of the bitterness of my soul. Lord, by these things men live, and all these is the life of my spirit. Oh, restore me to health and make me to live. I don't know if you can see Hezekiah or not, but he was a man in the strength of his 40s. Isaiah walks out of the bedroom, leaves the palace. And while Isaiah is walking across the palace grounds, something happens that changes the situation. Hezekiah draws up in that fetal position, turns towards the wall, and he begins to cry out to God in the desperation of his life. And he is a man who is afraid and confused and numb and desolate. He's a man at the peak of his career as king, and who stands on the brink of what appears to be a hopeless situation, desperate times. And he begins to cry out to the Lord from his heart, a desperate man in a desperate situation, a man tormented, facing despair. His prayer is the one that I printed before above the title of the message. Let's say it again together, shall we? Remember now, O Lord, I ask you, how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a full heart, and have done what is good in your sight. Lord, save me, restore me in this time, and make me live. We just read the scripture from Isaiah 38. Which tells you what was going through his mind. Isaiah is walking out of the palace when this heart prayer is said, and the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah a second time before he even gets off the grounds of the palace. Read with me 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 4 to 7. Here we go. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, bring a cake of figs and let them take and lay it on the boil that he may recover. Desperate times can come on all of us. Some of us can probably remember desperate times that we've been through. There may be somebody here right now that is in a desperate situation. And there's a lot you can learn from this story. Hezekiah responds to his desperate situation with a prayer that reveals not only what's going through his mind, but his stance, his attitude towards God, and his circumstance. And the first thing that is revealed here, if you just think about it, is we need to form a partnership with God in our prayers so that God can change dead situations into life. He partnered with God. Throughout the Bible, there are examples of people who pray to God to change desperate situations, and with the prayer, they partner with God in those desperate situations. Not everybody does that. Partners with God in prayer. If you look at the biblical witness, you'll see that it's from being face to face down on before the Lord on the ground. Then comes a prayer that can come victory. If you look at the stories, you can ask Abraham and he will point you to the sacrifice of Isaac and how he partnered with God. You can ask Joseph and he will direct your attention to the dungeon down in Egypt and when he partnered with God. You can talk about Moses, and he will point you into the danger that he ran into down on the Nile with the Pharaoh. You can ask Ruth, and she will tell you to build her monument in the field of her toil, and she partnered with God. You look at the Apostle Paul, and he'll point you to the light that struck him in his eyes and made him blind, and how he began to partner with God, and so it goes. Out of desperate times, you're going to find people who partner with God in prayer. Hezekiah was in a desperate situation. He could have said, well, you know, I need to get everything in order in my life because Isaiah told me I'm dead meat, basically, and he's God's man, and he must know what he's talking about. And Hezekiah could have said, well, I guess I need just to surrender to the situation. But the way that he set his house in order was to roll over on his side and put his face to the wall, and he began to talk to the person he knew better than anybody else and who knew him better than anybody else, and he appealed to him about really from the partnership that he already had with God in terms of what he had been doing with his life. He didn't know how to handle the circumstance that he was in. He didn't know what to do to change it. It was hopeless from a human standpoint. It was a desperate time. Now let me tell you about us. Some of us will do everything we can in a situation like this, desperate times. But in the last analysis, we come face to face with the fact that we can't get it done on our own power and strength and zeal. But some of us will storm around, fuming and fretting and basically saying, I know it's hopeless, but I just got to do something. And so we do something. And then there are some of us who just give up and we don't do anything. Now, someplace between these two states of being running around crazy and just doing nothing, there's a place of quiet rest where a person neither surrenders himself nor do they get frantic running around doing desperate things. And for the person who has a heart towards God, who knows Jesus as Savior, and they're in that process of making Him Lord of their lives, there's a place of deep courage and deep faith where a person goes and seeks the face of the Lord. They come to the Lord Jesus and face desperate times with God as their partner. And they do it in prayer. That's what Hezekiah did. He prayed. Remember now, O Lord, I ask you how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and how I've done what is good in your sight. Lord, save me. Restore me in this time and make me live. You realize that some of us just kind of get mad at God, but we don't talk to Him about our frustration, bitterness, and anger. And then all the poison in us over a desperate situation splashes on people around us and begins to destroy them as well. Talk to the Lord. When Hezekiah turns his face to the wall, what you are seeing is a desperate man who is partnering with God, who he has been in relationship with for years in prayer. Many of us want to hide. He had a partnership with God in prayer. He also had a stance. And his stance was he came in weakness. We just read Isaiah 38, verses 9 through 16. And if you ponder that writing of Hezekiah after he got well and what he was going through, it describes his weakness. He is broken in his desperation. He moans like a dove. His eyes are weary with looking upward. What he is saying is, Lord, I can't cut it. You got to take up the slack here because I can't cope with this. He makes his appeal from a posture of weakness to the one who is his strength. Don't fall prey to the notion that because you feel weak, you aren't a giant of the faith, that God isn't willing to handle your problems and your desperate situation. There are times when all God needs to hear is, Lord, I'm helpless. I need your help. I can't handle this. I can't cope with this. And it's appealing from a stance of weakness. And you're appealing to His strength. I think a third thing that we need to see in Hezekiah and other biblical witnesses as well as this one, Hezekiah accepted the discipline of his desperate circumstance. Desperate times happen all the time to people like Hezekiah and you and me. I know this. I take tours in people's lives, and I've been in desperate times with people at times. And you know your own life, whether you've already had it. And if you haven't had a desperate time, you will. And the reason they come is because we are a fallen race. We live in a cursed and battered world. God does not will them, but because of our freedom, and because we are living in a world that is filled with our own death through sin, God allows things to happen in normal, everyday living. Desperate times, desperate situations, they happen. And if the Lord doesn't act, we are lost. But many of us here probably have come through those times, and we look back, as Hezekiah did in that writing in Isaiah 38, and we see the victory of what was happening through those times. He writes, after he recovers, "Lo, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness." Hezekiah recognizes as he looks back on this desperate time that God was strengthening him through the discipline of the illness and the situation. I don't know about you, but I've never wanted to go through bad times, but I have looked back on some of the bad things that have happened in my life, and you know there is a discipline of living through it. He learned through the experience, and in the process, he was blessed by it. In other words, something more complete is happening in me because of this experience. How many of us have found good things in the midst of desperate times? I expect more than likely most all of us. I know that many of you have. So in desperate times, here's a prayer for us. "Remember now, O Lord, I ask you how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. Lord, save me, restore my well-being, make me live." And with the prayer, you partner with the Lord about the desperation that you're in. You appeal from the stance of your own weakness. And you accept the discipline of the desperate situation and be willing to learn from it. The fourth thing, the underlying principle in desperate situations in our lives and in most circumstances is this. It's the conditional element of God's timing on things. If you don't learn anything else, timing is very important in a great many of the dealings of God in this world, in people's lives, in your life and my life, in history. Timing is very important. In fact, you might say timing is everything. Time after time in the Bible is the timing of God that is important in that historical situation. When the time was right, Moses went down into Egypt. The people of Israel were put off from going into the promised land for 40 years because of their own choices, and that was a timing issue. When the time had fully come, the Lord spoke to us by his Son. He sent Jesus to us. Timing is everywhere in the Bible. In fact, if I read things right in terms of today, the timing for this message to be delivered is very important for somebody today. Timing is crucial in God's dealings with us. Timing is a conditional element. Hezekiah recognized that important principle. The word of the Lord went forth to Hezekiah in his desperate situation by the prophet Isaiah, and the Lord said, "I'm going to give you a sign," and I want to show you the sign. Read with me 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. "And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?' And Isaiah said, 'This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps?' And Hezekiah answered, 'It is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather, let the shadow go back 10 steps.' And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which the sun had declined on the dial of Ahaz." The sign that was given to Hezekiah had to do with time. It was on a sundial. God even gave Hezekiah the choice. He said, which way you want it to flow? You want it to go forward or you want it to go backwards? And what he did with that is he was showing you Hezekiah the conditional nature of time. Isaiah tells him that the shadow on the sundial will either move forward 10 steps or back 10 steps. And Hezekiah said, hey, I know it'll go forward 10 steps. All I have to do is sit here and wait for it. Make it go backward 10 steps. And the shadow backs up 10 steps. And somehow in that sign, I see God backing up in Hezekiah's life like as well. He gave him 15 more years to live. And it seems to me that just as God somehow interposed his hand and caused the light on that sundial to back up, that somehow he also backed up Hezekiah's life and gave him 15 years. And the Lord says, when it comes to sundials and your desperate life situation, there is never a shadow of a doubt. The timing is in my hands. We all face desperate situations in our lives at times. And we can take our cue in prayer and partnership and our stance and our attitude from Hezekiah, who was a king in his prime. Just like some of you are kings and queens in your prime. And you can leave the timing up to God. Isaiah came back to Hezekiah that day and said, hey, Hezekiah, let's play a game. It's called What If. What if God were to move the shadow on that sundial? Would it move forward or backwards? Let's pray. Lord, in the life situations that we face, some of which seem very desperate at times, work in our lives by your power. Help us to partner with you in our lives and to come to you with a full heart. Help us to walk our days in good standing with you according to your will. And receive our prayers as you received Hezekiah's. In Jesus' name, amen.